Well, if there's one thing that all of us know very well, it is sickness. It is something that all of us, no matter where we come from, where we live, how much money we have, or our status in society, we all know what it's like to be sick or to be unwell in some way. And ever since sin entered the world, we can see the effects of the fall from the grass that dies in the drought through to an old lady who passes away in a nursing home in her sleep. The effects of sickness and of death and of decay is everywhere ever since Adam and Eve first sinned. And sadly, plagues just like the coronavirus that we've all seen and all over the news have been a common occurrence in the history of this world. One of the earliest plagues or pandemics that we have recorded in history happened in 430 BC, which means before Christ, in Athens, where we read about two-thirds of the population had died. Another well-known plague in 165 AD. AD is short for a Latin term, Anno Domini, which means the year of the Lord, so from the year of Christ's birth afterwards. So 165 years after, we had the Antonian Plague, which eventually killed the Emperor of Rome, Marcus Aurelius. If you remember the movie Gladiator, where Russell Crowe's with Marcus Aurelius, and it's actually his son in the movie kills him. That's not true, but Marcus Aurelius was killed by this plague. Another significant plague came in the year of 541 AD, which spread through the Empire of Constantinople, where we saw about 10,000 people dying per day. The bodies could not be buried at the death rate, and so they'll just be piled up, left to decay. Another outbreak was in 1347, known as the Black Plague, that spread throughout Europe for a number of years. It is estimated to have killed over 50 million people. Then we see another plague in Italy in 1629, which was about 400,000 people were affected and killed. And then we get to London, where 1665 to 66, they suffered a number of different plagues. And we see that up to about 100,000 people had died from those plagues. And the list goes on and on and on. And today, when we turn on the news, the first thing we see the update on is the coronavirus, which has taken, I think, somewhere over 200,000 people's lives worldwide. Sickness is everywhere. Now, I want you to imagine for a minute, what if there was something that could cure, say, the coronavirus instantly? And I don't just mean some sort of remedy. You know, you take two tablets and then you'll start to feel slightly better. Well, you won't be contagious in two more days. But instantly healed from that virus, from a sickness that you have, from cancer, leukemia, anything, the list can go on. Imagine if there was something that if you came into contact with it, you could be healed instantly. Chasing after the toilet paper and the pasta and the canned food wouldn't be so important anymore, would it? Well, we see in Mark 6 that the word had spread, that there was this man from Galilee called Jesus, who taught with the authority of God, who could walk on the water, who could calm a storm just by speaking to it, and he could heal instantly just by the touch of his cloth or by the word that he spoke. He could heal any sickness. In fact, he is so powerful, he is so holy, he is so glorious, that if you have faith in him, then all you needed to do was to touch the fringe of the clothes that he was wearing and you would be healed. And in Mark 6, we see what happened when people saw and they heard that this man, Jesus, who could do all of these things, had arrived at their village. See, earlier on in chapter 6, Jesus told his disciples that they would get into the boat and that they would go to Bethsaida. But probably because of the storm, if you remember, they didn't end up at Bethsaida, they end up at Gennesaret. Gennesaret, if we read the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, is actually where Jesus called three of his disciples to come and follow him. And we read that when they arrived in Gennesaret, the people immediately recognized Jesus. Now, how did they recognize him? Did they recognize him because he had the 12 apostles who were following him around? Or did they think perhaps, oh, this is that man who can do all those mighty deeds? Or the man who just, you know, a day earlier had fed the 5,000 people? No, they recognized him as the one who had the power to heal every single sickness. The one who was so powerful that even the touch of his clothes would restore those who were suffering. We need to remember that in the ancient world, there was no Panadol, there was no hospitals, there was no high-tech medical equipment. They had physicians, they had doctors, as we saw earlier in Mark, with the lady who suffered from the flow of blood for 12 years, and she suffered under the care of many physicians. They could not look after her. They could not heal her. They did not have what we have today. And they do not know what we know today. No one back then nor now could do what Jesus could do. And that is to heal instantly. To heal by his word. To heal by a touch. From any single sickness. It wasn't just to give a remedy. Had nothing to do with medication, had nothing to do with having a rest, had nothing to do with waiting out, you know, 14 days, and then you'll feel better. This was instant. Instant healing. And so when the word spread that Jesus could do this, there was no holding people back. And we read in verse 55 that they ran around the whole region. They began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. This is not simply people saying, let's just go and see what this guy's talking about. Let's just go and see what this man who's been, you know, the word spread that he can do all these mighty things. Let's just go and see if we can witness a miracle or something like that. This is people who were desperate. This is people who were in need and who desired to get into the presence of Jesus. They were anxious, not just for themselves to be healed or to be made better, but for their family, for their loved ones. We see that people were brought to Jesus on beds. They couldn't walk themselves. They were struggling. You can imagine parents bringing children, husbands bringing their wives, wives bringing their husbands, children bringing their parents, friends bringing their friends on beds to lay before Jesus, hoping that they could get close enough to him to be healed. You can imagine this crowd of people longing to be where Jesus is. Not just to be fed. Not to hear what he had to say, but just to touch his garments. Just to be healed. This is a desperate crowd. They are anxious. And what do they have in common? Apart from the sickness? They all believed Jesus could heal them. They all believed. They all knew that Jesus had this power, not just one sickness, like some sort of specialist, but any sickness, any problem, every ailment, every sore limb, every withered arm, broken legs, paralyzed. Jesus could heal it all. And there was not a shadow of a doubt in these people's mind that Jesus could do this. In fact, much like the lady who suffered, as I mentioned, for 12 years with the flow of blood earlier in Mark 5, she said, if I just touch his garments, if I just touch the clothes that he is wearing, that is enough for me to be healed. And she believed it, and she was healed. And this crowd said and believed exactly the same thing. Exactly the same. What faith that we see in these people who literally have nothing. They do not have the hospitals that we have. They do not have the doctors on every corner, the chemists, no medical aid. They don't know the ease of what it is to take a tablet or to get an injection and then to feel better. These people have suffered and are fretting to get into the presence of God, into the presence of Jesus. And what a display of their faith. Because they don't question. And they don't wonder, maybe if I touch his garments, then I'll be healed. Maybe if I do this, oh, I might feel better. No, they say, if we touch his garments, we will be healed. And they believed it so much that they went to so much effort to get to where he was. Their faith shows us just how little faith the world we live in has. How many of us, when we are sick, do we turn to Jesus? How many of us, when we are diagnosed with something, or when we wake up one day feeling really crook, do we pray before we run to the doctors to get their opinion or to get the medicine that they can give us that perhaps might work or may not? And it's humbling to think that the only reason that the Panadol that we take or the Nurofen or even the chemotherapy that we might have, it only works if God makes it work. And it may or it may not work. The faith of these people here was remarkable. They were so desperate, and yet they were so faithful in striving to get to Jesus. And we read in verse 56, wherever he came, wherever Jesus went, in villages, in cities, or the countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garments. See, they went to such effort to preempt exactly where Jesus would walk, exactly where he would go, so that they could lay their loved ones down in the hope that their arms would be able to just reach out and touch the clothes that he was wearing so that they may be healed. What great effort these people went to be healed, to see their children walk again, or their husbands be able to breathe better, or whatever it may be. Look at their faith. They were so desperate, but they're also so full of faith. And their faith was in Jesus and in Jesus alone, not in perhaps some food that he may be able to give us like he did earlier, the day before. Not in what so much in what he's going to say, but they were completely focused on Jesus himself as the source of their healing. He doesn't need to say anything. But if we can get to his presence, if we can touch him, there is something about this man that can reverse the effects of this fallen world. There is something about this man, Jesus. Yes, he can walk on water, what nobody else can do. He can calm a storm. He can feed 5,000 plus people easily. And without even speaking a word, you can be healed in a second. And this is the faith that these people had. They knew this. They knew this to be true. And how did Jesus respond when he saw this huge crowd of people gathered, with people laying down on beds, wanting to just touch him, reaching out to him, crying out to him? How did he respond to such a vast group of people? We read, as many as touched it, as touched his garments, they were made well. As many people had touched his clothes were healed. How many people was that? The very last verse at the end of the Gospel of John has always amazed me. It says this, John 21:25. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. You see, the followers of Jesus couldn't even write down all of the things that Jesus did. They couldn't even write down all of the people that Jesus healed, because it was so big. It was so vast. We have a small portion here in these Gospels. So we're not just talking about Jesus healing one person, which would have been enough to prove his divinity. And we're not just talking about 50 people, or maybe 100 people, or 1,000 people. Especially here in Mark 6, these healings took places in villages, plural. In the cities, plural. In the countryside. And this was just in Gennesaret. This is thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who have been healed by Jesus. It is very hard for us to grasp the magnitude of these healings. And not just to have a handful of people witness these things, to witness these healings that Jesus did, but thousands and thousands of people who witnessed their loved ones now standing up, now being healed instantly. Their sicknesses are gone, the fevers are gone, just because they have touched him. Now these days, I've heard of many people say that they do not understand if God is real. Why would he not heal my loved ones? Why would he not heal my children? My grandparents, my mum, my dad. The list goes on. And these are important questions. They're very deep questions. But we must remember first that God actually owes us nothing. Now that's hard for many people to understand. And many people will get upset at hearing that. God owes us nothing. What do you mean God owes us nothing? But he doesn't. He's not bound to us in any way. He does not have to heal us anymore. But you know what he has done? He has given us something far greater than any healing can give. He has promised us and shown us something that is far better than being healed. Now he has given us the gospel. A free invitation. Not just to feel better now. Not just to have your health restored. Who cares about that? When the gospel is there, that's what's important. That's what God has given us now. Because you can enter into the kingdom of God with two arms, with one arm, with no legs. You could die because of the coronavirus. You could die because you have cancer riddled throughout your whole body. But if you have the gospel, you have that promise of eternal life. And it's the promise of eternal life in the presence of God, away from all suffering, away from all pain, away from all struggling. Was Jesus' main purpose in coming to the world just to heal people? No. That was not his main purpose. He did it because he is loving, because he is gracious. But that was not his aim. But what we see in these healings, what we see in Mark 6 of these thousands of people being healed, is what it is like for somebody who is sick, for somebody who is struggling, for somebody who is burdened, for somebody who is feeling the effects of this fallen world, what happens when they come into the presence of God. Is those things cease to exist? Sickness is taken away. Pain does not reign. Cancer, stillbirths, never happen when we are in the presence of God. In Revelation 21, we are told of the promise and what will happen when God's people finally come into his presence. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Do you see what happens when we enter into the presence of God? When these people in Mark 6 desired to be with Jesus because they knew that if they got near Jesus, if they touched his clothes even, they would be healed. They would be restored. The sickness is no more. The pain has gone. The tears do not come. Death does not reign over them. Jesus was showing all of these people through his healings that he is God. He is good. He is gracious. He is loving. He is a compassionate God, just as we read in Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted people. He binds up their wounds. See, no other religion in this world has what we have. Nobody has a Savior like ours. Nobody has a gospel like what we have. You'll see people all around the world saying, I can heal, I can do this. All I have to say is, if these words and you will be healed. They can't stop death. Jesus healed people, but they still died. So he's offered something far greater than healing. Something that will have no end. Something that goes out to everybody, not just the sick. But every single person in this world has the same invitation, and that is the gospel. To believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of our sins, to turn to him, to live for him. And one day you will be granted the tremendous privilege of being invited into his presence, where pain and where sickness are no more. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore, says Psalm 16. Forevermore. For all eternity. This is the wonderful gift that we have. And Jesus did all of these things to show us that he is worth running to. He is worth trusting in. And he alone is the true God who is in control of all things. We must remember when any sickness comes our way, when any burden or struggle, Jesus is in control. And he can truly heal, not just heal us physically, but by bringing us into the presence of God, where there'll be no more suffering. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we are so thankful for the accounts and the gospels that we have about how our Lord Jesus Christ healed so many people so easily. Without even speaking a word, they were restored. And even more, we are so thankful that he did not come just to heal, but he came to save, which is something we all need desperately. And so we pray that you'll help us to put our trust and our hope in him, to desire him above all else, and to trust in him that he is sovereign, in control, and that everything happens according to his good and perfect plan. Father, we pray that you will bless us now and this week as we go out, and we ask that you will bless us greatly next Sunday, that we may be able to join together to worship you again. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing our final song.